Why do I like talking about relationship? I must say that before I continue. I have discovered that the most common thing for a young person who is navigating his ways into adulthood, somehow you must get into a relationship. But I have also seen that in trying to navigate your way into relationship, many of us actually do not know what to do. You are expected to fall in love, like I have always said, your heart will fall in love whether you are prepared for it or not. And after some time, your parents will begin wondering when you're going to get married. So, which means that in your life, you're going to get into a love relationship. Outside love relationship, when you were born for relationship. The first time God created you, your purpose, he created you for relationship. That's why Adam was not left alone. He created you first of all for your relationship with him, with yourself, and with another person. So when you talk about relationship, there is a vertical relationship, the relationship between me and God. And then there is the horizontal relationship with your siblings, with your family members, with those whom you are biologically connected with. And then there is relationship in business. And then you have this awesome, powerful rock you call love relationship. If you look through life, you will discover that many people have gotten their fingers burnt just simply because they do not know how to go about it. Somebody told you, I love you, and you believe the person, and you are still crying till now. They have sang many songs. If you check most of the secular songs we have around, most of them concentrate on relationship. Look at it. Everything about life is talking about relationship. Yet, as big as relationship is, our country has no place where people will go to learn relationship so that you don't get your fingers burnt. Even the church is making no provisions for such issues. I have gone through life, I have looked at people from all walks of life. I have been counseling people in marriages since 1985. And the blunder, ladies and gentlemen, we are made before they got married. So my passion was fired up. If people can get ready before the time, they won't miss it. You won't miss it in Jesus' name. My topic is, are you the one? Or should I wait for another? If somebody is in your life, you really need to know whether the person is the one or not. If there is nobody in your life, you still need to arm yourself with this information so that you will not be deformed. Somebody is asking somebody, are you the one or should I wait for another? Many of us, this person you're asking this question, have already slept with the person. Many of us, you have fallen. See, I'm a very practical person. When I talk to you, I talk to you as when you leave the seminar and go out into the street. Most of the things I said to you, you will see them happening. Are you the one or should I wait for another? Many of us, this is the position where you are. This is the position where you are. You have already fallen in love. Halfway through, the question is, should I come out or should I remain? Should I come out, should I remain? Now, you're asking, are you the one? Or is there any other person I should wait for? The first step to recognizing the right person is personal self-recognition. Personal self-recognition. If you don't know yourself, even when the right person comes, you won't know. I will explain. If you do not know yourself as a person, when the right person comes into your life, you will know. That's where you hear the slogan say, it take husband, make boyfriend. Or it take wife, make girlfriend. When you talk about personal self-recognition, I'm talking about things like, what are your temperaments? Temperaments are simply, who are you? Who have you discovered? Okay, let me tell you this. I'm not preaching. This woman is looking at the mirror. The first place that you discover who you are is in who created you. The answer to who you are lies in the hands of who created you. Please listen to this analogy. This is not a church as it were, but I'm going to use the Bible as a reference point Because I've discovered that most references in the world came from the Bible. All the references. So I'm going to use majorly, I'm going to major on the Bible as my top reference. Even if you have never read the Bible before, I want you to notice something. When God was going to create the fish, he spoke to the water. When he wanted to create trees, he spoke to the land. When he wanted to get grasses, he spoke to the land. When he wanted to create man, he spoke to himself. So I can never find the true meaning of my life until I find my identity in God. Notice, many of us, you have looked up to Hints magazine to define who you are, and they led us astray. Some of us have looked at city people for a self-definition. Some of us, you have looked at the person that you are in relationship with to tell you who you are. They don't know you. They're also trying to find out who they are. What if I don't know that, I don't even know there is any God temperament at all? Who are you? Self-recognition. If you recognize yourself, you will be able to recognize who should come into your life. The next issue, my temperament determines my eating habits. Some of us like to eat fast. Some of us eat slowly. Some of us like to eat junks. Some of us like to eat a bar. It determines how I eat. My temperament determines my sleeping habits. There are some of us who love to sleep. I don't love to sleep. I have a son. Most of the time when sleep comes, he tries to drive away sleep, my little boy. Because he thinks that when I'm sleeping, I'm missing out something. I think he picked it from me. But there are some of us who love, sleep is their career. Your temperament determines your sleeping habits. Are you still here? Your temperament determines how you relate to people. Please, I need you to take me very seriously because we're going to say that something's going to happen after this. You notice that there are some people, when they relate to you, they are very violent. There are some people, when they relate to you, they are very quiet. There are some people, they are indifferent. If I know my temperament, I know how I relate to people. So if I'm going to get involved with somebody, and I know, for instance, me, my primary love language is attention. I like people talking to me. I like to be talked to. My husband knows that you have to talk to this woman. If I marry somebody who is indifferent about talk, now, I will always long for him to talk to me. He may think that I love for him to give me gifts while I love him talking to me. I know my temperament, so it determines who I recognize or who I pick as my life partner. Are you still there? If you're still there, say, Some people are indifferent. Have you noticed there are some people who are your friends? They are indifferent. They don't show, they don't express any kind of emotion. Your temperament is what determines it. Why am I showing you this? So that you know how important self-recognition is. Driving skills. Your temperament determines how you drive. Some people will drive very, 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 very fast. And then halfway they will stop and then take it easy. And then you're shouting, oh, stop driving! Ah, ah. The temperament. The next one. We're still talking on self-recognition. It determines the way you shop. Your temperament determines the way you shop. So, if I know my temperament, I know my shopping habits, I will even know what to change. Next one. My temperament determines how I discipline my child. Most of the times, the thing that causes trouble in marriage is how a child should be disciplined. The father feels you should talk to the child. The mother feels you should beat the child. Or the other way around. So your temperament determines your understanding of child's discipline. Housekeeping. Your temperament determines how you keep house. For instance, if you're a sanguine, he wakes up in the morning, he wants to clean up the entire house. He packs all the tools outside. Halfway through, somebody comes, he starts talking to the person. That's the end of the house cleaning. In another 3 hours, you go say, just help me bring those things back. Your temperament determines that. It determines your handwriting. Have you noticed that overseas, sometimes when they want to catch a criminal, they go through the person's handwriting. Some people, because of your build, your inborn traits or your temperament, your handwriting, you write very fast. Why some people take their time to write? It's your temperament that determines it.
Praise the Lord.
Should I go on? Self-recognition simply means, who am I? If I know who I am, then I will know who will come into my life. To marry the right person is extremely important. Anybody that marries the wrong person, the first thing that happens to you, your fulfillment is gone. When it comes to let me settle down, it's a different case altogether. One wrong step, you miss your destiny. You can see, as we are here, air conditioner is blowing us, we are enjoying the place. We are preparing you for your future. The organization that puts this thing together is called Secure the Future. Let's move on. Having talked about self-recognition, the first thing I need to understand is, to really marry the right person, you must recognize that being single means single, separate, and whole. Please listen. Listen to what I'm about to say, please. To marry the right person, you must recognize that being single means single, separate, and whole. Anybody who is going into dating out of necessity is not single. Necessity means I need this to survive. If I don't get it, I won't survive. Look at the disadvantage of necessity. When you need something, you can get anything. You can't make a choice. To ensure that you stop that, just ensure that you are whole before you get into a love relationship. I will explain. While we are growing up, many of us have been through one thing or the other. The things you went through, listen, has impacted your life. Listen to me, I'm going to say this again. While we were growing up, some things must have happened to us. Single means physically, psychologically, socially, emotionally, you are whole. But while we were growing up, listen very attentively to what I was saying. There are some things that happened to us, and we took it for granted that nothing happened. But something happened. A young lady is growing up in a family. Beautiful environment. Your mother, your father, everybody beautiful. One scenario. But in that beautiful garden, somebody walked into the house, either an uncle or auntie or whoever, and touched you in a way you shouldn't be touched. The person did not allow you to experience childhood before he took you into adulthood. Some parts of your life is lost. The tragedy of Adam, he became a man without being a child. At 7, at 8, at 11, at 12, somebody came and touched you in a way you shouldn't be touched. When that thing happened to you, your emotional tank has just gone bankrupt. There will be a need inside you that is craving for satisfaction. What is that need? Your childhood days. When that need is gone, maybe you go to church, you give your life to Christ, and they minister to you. There is still something in your soul that has not been rectified. It's waiting. It's still going to come up. When you get into a relationship, there is a need in you that is craving for satisfaction. The person you get into a relationship with, the reason you got into a relationship with that person is for the person to fulfill that need. Unfortunately, the person does not know that this is your agenda. Most of the time, you don't even know that this is your agenda. The person, of course, will express some kind of love, but the love the person is expressing is not meeting the need. Because the need is not met, you will still be craving for attention. And you know what that happens? When it cannot be reached, you divert it to addiction. A young man gets into a university. He has been oppressed thoroughly. Oppressed by his friends. Oppressed by people whom he thought, I am better than these people. When that oppression happened, a man is not supposed to be oppressed. Human beings are not supposed to be oppressed. When that oppression happened, the first thing that happened to this man is something inside him has been damaged. It's called self-esteem. His self-dignity, his picture of himself has been violated. There is something on his inside now that is craving for satisfaction. When that need cannot be met, he will divert it. Some divert it into promiscuity, into womanizing. Now listen, all he's trying to do is to meet a need. Have you noticed that overseas, people go through a lot of nonsense? You hear stories, you keep hearing stories. Several kinds of stories. And then we keep wondering, listen to me. Some of us may just explain it away that it is the devil. Then they go to church, the devil is removed, the need has not been met. I'll tell you a story. While I was in the university in Unibel, I met a young man who was attending Bible school. He began talking with me. I discovered he was born again. Fine believer, powerful believer, fine boy. We talked. He told me, he said, there is something I want to discuss with you. I said, what's the problem? We discussed about the Bible school, about what is happening in church, about what God is doing in his life and all that and all that. Fine. He said, but there is something else I want you to help me do. He said, there is a sickness in the church. I said, what's the sickness? He said, there is a pent-up emotion, a bottled-up emotion that has not been handled by preachers. I said, how do you mean? I'm a preacher. Are you cursing? I said, no. He said, I'm gay. I said, I'm not shocked. He said, why are you not shocked? I said, in the world of today, so many things, they happen. So I'm not shocked. He said, I have gone for deliverance 14 times. And mentioned the churches where I'm not going to mention any church yet. He said, and the need has still not left me. He said, I feel bad that I'm doing this. I feel so bad. But I can't see myself stopping the need. As far back as then, I began researching his life with him. I discovered that while he was growing up, he had an issue with his father that damaged that part of his life. Oh, his mom. And he felt that all women are like my mother. Now, there is a need, there is an injury that was not taken care of. He diverts to an addiction. If you're going to get married and you are not whole, now, I'm a very practical person. Many of us, you got into university out of materialism and things to that effect. You went into wrongs. Maybe the need for self-validation, the need for self-approval. You jumped into wrongs. And now you're out of school. Maybe you're still in school. There is a need. There is a switch that has to be switched off. If you are not single, being that you're not married does not mean you are single. Separated, that is by yourself. You stay by yourself, you feel complete, you feel fulfilled. Many of us, if you are not in love, you feel out of place, you feel empty. By yourself, you feel complete, you feel fulfilled. You can stay and entertain yourself. Then you are on your way to getting the right mate. Should I continue? Are you sure? My next point. If you want to get the right person, in answering the question, are you the one or should I wait for another? There are some certain things that comes up in your mind concerning the person you want to get into a relationship. Of course, you must have a picture. The person I want to marry must be like this, must be like that, must be like that. Am I communicating? I read a story. Yonggi Cho, one of my mentors, said he met a certain lady. The lady was crying, I'm over, I'm past the time of marriage, I'm not married, I need to marry, blah, blah, blah. Pastor said, okay, sit down, let's talk about how you get married. What kind of man do you want? The lady said, any man, so far a man. The pastor said, that's why you are not married. There are some of us here, you feel that time has passed. The person that set the time for you, I don't know. And you are in a hurry. Those who hurry, they pass church. That is, if you are hurrying, when you get the address, you won't even know the address, you will pass it. The pastor said to the man, to the woman, let us begin. Number one, what color do you want this man to be? Caucasian, black, Asian? The woman said Caucasian. Height, the woman said, told him. Occupation, the woman told him. The woman narrated 10 traits he wanted the man to have. Yonggi Cho told the woman, write it down. Have a mental picture of it and paste it where you will see it every day. He said, whenever you wake up, visualize this kind of person and keep speaking it to God. So, if you're going to get the right person, you must have his picture in your memory. Don't go and look at, listen to me, Mr. Right is a myth. There is no Mr. Right anywhere. I will tell you that. If somebody is going to be right, you have to work it out. And good relationship is hard work. Hallelujah. Your right partner must have compatible minds with you. Your right partner will be a person who is like-minded with your official goals. Now, first of all, do you have a goal? What is a goal? A goal is something you want to achieve and you're willing to pay the price to achieve it. If I ask you now, ladies and gentlemen, what is your goal? What answers will I get? I'd like to task your mind a little bit. What is your goal? What is your goal? First of all, do we have goals? In FEM Foundation, where I happen to be one of the pastors, the whole of January would teach them about goals planning, goal planning and setting. The last Sunday of the month, we all sit down and you write your goal down. Your goal is 5 years from now. Where will you be? 5 years from now, what will you be? What is your dream? This program is called Living Your Dreams. What is your dream? What is your dream? Martin Luther said, I have a dream that one day my three girls will be in a country where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And today it is so. You that is looking at me today, what is your dream? Mother Teresa had a dream. She left a white top first world country to India. She suffered for her dream. Barack Obama today is gunning to be the president of the US. A man that had slave origin. What is your goal? Because if you don't have a goal, when I'm coming into your life, what am I coming into your life to do? Your right partner is the person who is supposed to help you. He will help you achieve your goal, and the right person will hinder your goal. But let me not take it for granted that you have goals. What is your goal? If you have a goal, your goal is, I want to buy 5 Hummer Jeeps. I want to stay in Dubai and die. I want to stay in Nikon. That's not a goal. That is foolishness. Your goal is whatever you will do that will enhance humanity. Listen to me. This world is looking the way it's looking today because some people invested their lives to make it better. It will be a crime against destiny for you to come to planet Earth and leave Earth the way you met it is a crime. It is such a crime, it's a disappointment against your destiny. The way Nigeria is looking today, the way Africa is looking today, we can change it. It's a matter of somebody rising up with a definite goal. Ladies and gentlemen, we can have an African country where we will have light 24 hours. We can have it. It is achievable. We can have an African country where you stand on the streets and look at the streets. There are no papers on the road. There are no pure water papers on the road. There are no bottles on the road. It's possible. We can have an African country where you walk on the streets. There are no potholes. There are no traffic jams where you have to stay there for 3 hours. It is possible. And we can have an African country where we have beautiful drainage system. Somebody can create it. Ladies and gentlemen, we can reposition Africa from a third world continent to a first world continent. All it takes is for us to rise up with goals. Somebody is here who's going to be the next governor of a Edo state, who's going to be the next first lady. Please, do not go there with the idea of eating your own national cake, because by the time you finish, you will end up in Enugu. It is good to have money with honor. It is good to have money with good name. You can't waste your life. It's time for us to rise up to a new Nigeria. Somebody sang a song. Which way Nigeria? Which way Nigeria? Which way to go? Which way to go? I love my fatherland. I want to know. I want to know. Which way Nigeria is heading to? Many years after independence, we'll still find it hard to start. How long shall we be patient before we reach the promised land? Oh, let's save Nigeria so Nigeria won't fall. Everybody is running to America. Americans built America. British people built Britain. French people built Paris. Africans will build Africa. Nigerians will build Nigeria. But you know, when I look at your face, I see the person that's going to rectify our electrical problem. When I look at your face, I see the person that will stop the bad leadership and present good roads, good medical facilities. Stand up and shout, I am the one. If you don't have a goal, you don't need a relationship. You know why? If you don't have a goal, when a young lady enters your room, you will bust the bottle. It's the truth. Because when two of us start, you're what we're talking about. Oh, I love your hair. Oh, I love your hair too. I love your trousers. Same here. I like the way you talk. I wanted to say the same thing. Your perfume is killing me. Same here. What next? What next? You will bust bottle. But when there is a goal, when we sit down, we start sharpening our minds. So the person that's going to get into your life must be somebody who have goals. Look at you and ask, what is your goal? Ask the person, what is your goal? Shout it very loud. This person should satisfy your goal, your visions, your desire. Not just stimulate your emotions. Stop looking for people who will stimulate. Listen to me. I don't need you to know if I'm fine. Even if I'm not fine, if I can look myself at the mirror continuously and tell myself, okay, you're cool, you're powerful, you're fantastic, After some time, I will start believing it. Because if you can say it loud enough, you will hear it again and again, and it becomes your self-image. Stop looking for people who tell you, oh, your breast is fine. Oh, your hips, you have figure eight. Oh, you are a champion. Oh, I don't need somebody to stimulate my emotions. I need somebody to stimulate my goals. If you don't know your goals, it simply means that you have planned to fail. Somebody who is going to get into your life should be able to unlock your dreams. I remember when I was going to talk about living your dreams. For a long time, there is this burden in my heart to start talking to people about relationship. I started it in church. After some time, I stopped. When I gave birth, I said, the thing I'm asking myself, you don't do, I'm not disturb myself again. Let me go and sit at home. My husband said, what are you doing? I said, I'm resting. He said, why? He said, I don't burn now. No, be beginner, don't burn. He said, what that means? I'm going to, he said, come on. Get out of the house and go fulfill your dreams. If somebody is going to get into your life, the person should be able to unlock your dreams. The person should be able to move you, to push you into what you should do. If it's all about emotion, and there is no development, the thing is going to crash. The person that is, if you're going to make a choice, look for somebody who will bring out your strength and undermine your weakness. If you look at my guy, look for somebody who will pull out your leadership ability, your qualities, who will provoke your strength and downplay your weakness. So when you hang out with somebody as a time, for some time, what I'm saying becomes like exams, like a checkmate. Is this person pulling out my strength or the person multiplying my weakness? For instance, if you are somebody, the way you live your life, you love women. Actually, every man, we all love women. We don't hate them. The only difference is how you go about it. You love babes. And you love them a lot. And now you're hanging out with people who also love babes. What do you think will happen in the process of time?
You'll fall into the same clique of people.
Thank you. It's just a matter of time. If you are somebody, you don't, the small church where you go, Papa don't preach for your head. You don't dare get sense. Then you don't take the follow women again. And now you're beginning to hang out with people who provoke your weakness. It's just a matter of time. They will say, if you're really a man, go and toast that girl. If you say you're a man, if you know you're a man, go and toast the girl. I didn't come to this world to toast people. I came to make a statement. Look for people who will bring out your ability. Whether it's a boy or a girl or a man or a woman, your future spouse should encourage you towards bringing out your ability. Not if you are really a man, smoke this ganja. If you say you're a man, I don't need to smoke ganja to know that if I look at my body, I know I'm a man. Are you still here? Look at your neighbor. Say, does he provoke your leadership ability? Have you noticed that in life now, people, there is too much fear. I don't want him to leave me. So I have to behave in such a way. I love him so much. I don't want anything to happen to this relationship. True love is void of fear. Street language. Cross your mind. And then, don't make somebody feel you are needy. Don't behave needy. Now, if somebody brings a closure to a relationship, and the person says, I don't want to have anything to do with relationship again, I'm at the end of it. You try to negotiate, not beg. Now, there is nothing like... Henrietta. See... You are the pillar of my life. I stopped going to church. It's because of you. I joined church because of you.
You can't leave me. You are the pillar. Go first. If the person's life crashes, you will know you are the pillar. And then you go, Jimmy, it's not fair. It's not fair. Jimmy, you shouldn't have done this to me. I don't deserve it. Jimmy, please. Please, Jimmy. For time's sake. You're not negotiating. While we were dating, I told my husband, I don't think this relationship will continue. I'm sorry. It actually takes two to tango. Let me go and think about it. I'll give you a reply after I've thought about it. And I said, no need. If it's over for you, it's not over for me. It takes two to tango. You have said no. I have said yes. But before you say such a thing, make sure you get confidence. Oh. Because you get what you go, knack mind. Self-recognition. Knowing yourself. The next one. Self-improvement. They never remain the way you met them. They get better daily. If you met somebody, how do I confirm if this is the person? Are you gymming your mind? Are you improving your mind with information? Listen, the currency for development in the 21st century is information. If you are 10, even one day behind information, you are 20 years behind civilization. The person who gets into your life must have a self-development. Now, listen to me about your mind. Your mind will only stretch to the measure of the information you give to it. There are some people, when you give them, when you throw a small problem, so there is a problem, their mind will quickly process and give you a solution. But there are some people, when you tell them there is a problem, the first thing they tell is problem, which is uncommon. This is now work of which. Listen, your pricing in the world, your pricing in the market is determined by the amount of information you carry. And I said to them on Sunday, the people of information, listen, when you are informed, the whole world will bow at your feet. I'm telling you, if I met you in January, and when I met you in January, you were telling me you love me, I understand that, you will die for me, I understand that. By February, I need you to tell me about stocks. I need you to tell me about Barack Obama. I need you to tell me about Microsoft. I need you to tell me about church, not in the context of witches fall, fire fall. I need you to inform me on spiritual development, what it means to be spiritually developed. I need you to inform me on how to discover my purpose. I need you to challenge me. And if you are not improved, how can you improve me? When you get into the labor market, the pricing your world will put on you. How much is your worth today? If you step out there and they price you, how much will your mind cost? If they pull out your mind and put it in a laptop, how much information can it process? Your mind is the most expensive thing you have, and the mind is a terrible thing to waste. How can you go through a day, 2 days, three, and you have not read a book? And of course, it's not in our culture as Africans to read. The ways we have been taught to solve problems have become archaic and out of date. If you check your computer or your laptop, the Microsoft put it in such a way that you have to update it daily. So, which means the information you had in your mind 2 weeks ago has to be updated. And my husband told me that information gets out of date after every 60 days. The career you want to pursue, or whatever it is you want to do, how much information do you have in that area? Self-improvement. They shouldn't remain the way they are. If they remain that way, they are not your person. Get out from them. We may have points of differences. I may be different from you, I understand. But those differences is what makes you unique. I like to talk. In fact, I talk for a living. I talk for a living. My husband is very quiet. He talks for a living, but he's very quiet. When you tell me something, I can make up my mind now. If you tell him something, we'll go and reason. So when we are discussing, sometimes when we are discussing, I say, we need to travel to Port Harcourt, and I'll be waiting for a response. He will keep quiet. He won't say yes, he won't say no. I'm talking to him. I say, I'm actually waiting for a response. He said, but I'm processing the thought. I said, why does he always take you time to process your own thought? We are different. Our differences is what is making the marriage sweet. Bond that thing. Stop looking for people who look like you and stop trying to make everybody to fit into your definition of a human being. Don't make me to look like you. Appreciate me the way I am and value me for me. Now listen to me. Some of us are 10 inch. That's our size. You meet somebody that is 50 inch. You want to reduce the person to a 10 inch. No, you don't reduce the person. You increase your value. We value ourselves. And at the same time, we submit to ourselves. We have come to a time where in our world, there is women liberation. The question, how many women are in bondage? If I am not in bondage, what am I asking them to liberate me from? The Bible remains the standard. Husbands, love your wives. Men, listen, now that you're single, you need to start learning how to love something without attaching sex to it. Love can exist without sex. And women, if you haven't learned how to submit to your father, to your church authority, you haven't learned how to submit to your senior brothers, there's no way you'll learn how to submit to your husband. And he will beat you sore. No man likes to be challenged. Even my little boy at home, he hates to be challenged. The way God built the man, God built the man, and listen, we are built equally, but when Eve goofed, yeah, Adam, of course, Adam goofed, Eve just followed somehow. You know what he was told? The woman said, submit yourself to your husband, African men, to your husband. Not, you don't come to say, I am because I'm the man, I'm the husband of everybody. You are not Solomon. Points of differences, that is what makes your relationship to be sweet. So if you're going to recognize the person, know that. Yet we value each other. The person you say you're in a relationship, does the person value you? If you value me when I say no to some certain things, you should join me to say no. Not when I say no, you say, if you won't do this, I will leave you and go. After all, men, girls, full streets. Value each other. Family care. In the case where you have children, they will tolerate your children and treat them like that. Now listen, I don't take it for granted. There are some people who are single but they have children. If you're getting into a relationship, please make sure that the person you are getting into a relationship with know that you have children. Don't give your child to your mother and lie to the person. And then the person should be able to value your, even when the children are naughty, value them. If you're getting a relationship with somebody who is different from you, who has a child, please, listen, if somebody makes a mistake and gets a child outside wedlock, don't discard a relationship on that. I'm not encouraging you to go and take it. But I'm just saying that your life does not end because you made a mistake. Some people feel that when I had that child, my life ended. It's not true. You can still live in spite of the child that you had out of wedlock. But still, we must all make up our minds. If I'm going to love you, I will love you with your mess. And then treat, never be a reason why a man quarrels with his family. And never be a reason why a woman quarrels with their family. They were living together before you came. Don't become a reason for... Don't rejoice that your fiancé slapped the mother because the mother asked you, why did you wear yellow shirt? And then you are happy. As much as possible, be the reason why they come together. The next one. You can't be an achiever and marry a lazy bone. You cannot be an achiever and pursue a relationship with somebody who lives on welfare. If you are hardworking, the person should be hardworking too. Now, there is a new concept I have seen that is growing in our country, that is growing in our nation. Some men are now depending on a woman. And then some women have turned into enablers for men. Let me tell you what an enabler is. If somebody is on cocaine and the person is going to a rehabilitation program, they give you enablers. The enablers are the people who are going to help you come out of the addiction. Of course, sometimes they're going to try. They won't remove the thing completely. They take it gradually. Now, many sisters have turned to enablers. You know why they turn to enablers? I'll tell you why. Because there is this concept that men are not much. In fact, in our dialect, they use it to sing a song, my brother. They use it to sing a song. Did you call? 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 Husband's scarce, husband's scarce. But I'm not going to, because husband's scarce, I'll go marry armed robber. Some people feel because there are no more husbands, they will do anything. They will put the boy in a house, give him money for his house rent, give him money to run his visa racket, buy his underwears, buy his shirt, buy his suit. He doesn't have, I just want to help him so that we can marry. And they even give the boy the diary to go and pay. It happens. You don't know. It happens. Some of us will buy the boy motto. And the very foolish boy will pick up the motto that you bought for him and head on to Uniben for his sweetheart. Don't marry somebody who is lazy. He puts out his adult, there's no money. Give me some. The one you gave me yesterday is finished. Don't marry somebody who goes begging his friends, racketing. They call it ragging. Ragging. Are we going to use ragging to pay our children's school fees? Brothers, look at yourself. Say, a woman will not feed me. Say it very loud. Say it very loud. The next one. Check how they treat and relate to their superiors, bosses, and church authorities. This person that is coming to your life as a partner, when he gets into your life, check how he relates to authorities. There are some people who are afraid of authority. Why? Authorities have injured them at one point or another. But listen, if the guy is with you, he breaks the rules in front of you. When you are not there, he will do more. For instance, where there is traffic light, when they come, I don't know where I come from, but I know say when I just they come. Red light. The guy said, I won't beat him. Please, if you're a good woman, tell him to wait. He said, with a hurry. He beats the authority. Bah! You clap for him. You are the man. You have taught him how not to respect authority. And any day two of you have problems, nobody can talk to him. Even the woman you marry, watch the way he talks to his dad. To her dad. Is it dad or his or hers? Look at authority. How he relates. If he tells you, listen, the pastor doesn't need to know about it. After all, he's us. We are mature people. We know what we want. At the end of the day, who will wed you? Who will do the counseling? Can't you see it's self-deception? He tells you, see, he doesn't need to know. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. If he will violate your pastor's authority, violate your parents, challenge authority, he's the wrong person. You know what? You know this thing about authority. The way the man, the woman, the Bible says, man shall leave his mother and father, and do what? And be joined to the husband, and be joined to the wife, and they shall be one flesh. Look at something about it. But he never said a woman should leave his mother and father. I will tell you why. Because the woman is going from submission to submission. The man is going from submission to authority. While he was unmarried, he was under the submission of his parents. But when he gets married, he's going from the submission of his parents to the authority. authority figure, if he never learned how to submit to authority, when he becomes your husband and something goes wrong, he wouldn't know how to submit to authority. Ladies and gentlemen, men in the house, the time has come for us to have gentlemen who submit to the spiritual authority, who submit to the authority. Listen, all you need to do is take your father's authority. Don't insult him. Don't shout on him. You know why? What you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. If you shout at your dad, give yourself some time, Junior will shout back at you. Don't sell your father's property to run to Italy, because if you reach there, it will backfire by fire. We need men who understand the position. Listen to me. Your pastor is your friend. Why? Because he has spiritual overseeing over your life. Your pastor is not meant to manipulate or control your decision. Your pastor looks and then he gives you an advice. But you are not forced to take the advice. He doesn't force you. He doesn't impose himself on you. He places, look at the right thing to do. Because it is his authority. The pastor's job is to provide you with what is called counsel, right counsel. A Jewish proverb said, in the multitude of counsel there is safety. If you're going to do something, make sure you take counsel. Don't just take counsel from your friends. You know something about your friends? Sometimes they won't tell you the truth because they don't want to dare your anger. Sometimes you're wrong, your friends can't tell you. But listen, I need somebody in my life. When I'm wrong, the person can tell me, if it's okay, your mouth is smelling. That's why you need authority. All my children in the Faith Foundation here, you think if my mouth is smelling, the fear will let them, even when they tell me, they'll say, get one pastor when we go see. After just the pastor say, praise the Lord, the mouth just they smell. I don't like pastors when their mouth, as they talk, I will just do like this. But an authority will tell you, your mouth is smelling. Say attitude to authority. You need somebody who is committed to God's word. Now let me tell you something about church. Stop running away from church. Church is not your enemy. Church, in the concept of the word church, is not ha ha hey, and then we fall. That's not the concept of church. Church is revolution. Church is to bring a change. The only thing that can change the world is not the politician. Because the politician is dealing with the physical part of man. Politician is dealing with changing bills. That will not affect anybody. The church is the only organization or organism that will get into the heart of man and cause a change. Did you notice what happened in Benin City? The government came one day and said, we are on a rampage to bring people from Italy and rehabilitate them so that we'll give them a job. How many of them came back? How many of them are out? How many of them are out of prostitution? But when a church gets such a person, the church will be able to get into the heart of a prostitute and turn him to a preacher. The church is your friend. Ladies and gentlemen, as I begin to round off, all are important. This Bible, important. I will tell you why. Check the greatest man that ever lived. The wisest man. What did he use to sharpen his mind? The Bible. If you ever want to be wise, you want to have spirit of discernment to be able to discern right from wrong. There are some people who think that church is you go, clap, dance, sing, and go home. Church doesn't happen within the four walls of church. Church happens outside the four walls. Everything I'm training you on now, you're not going to use it here. Even if you fall in love in this hall now, somebody beside you just turns to you and say, will you marry me? You say yes. You still won't live in this hall. You will go home. When you go home, I won't be there. Nobody will be there. This is what you need. Now, many people think that you need dollars to survive. I have discovered that money does not solve poverty. We have a proof in Edo State, money does not solve poverty. If money solves poverty, you won't find yourself in a prison in the north. If money solves poverty, You'll be here, you won't be in Enugu, enjoying with us. If money solves poverty, you won't be paying 50 million to save your head. How can you be so rich and you're still looking for money? Money is not the cure to poverty. The cure to poverty is the right knowledge. I have a problem with Environmental Sanitation Day, and I will tell you today what the problem is. In Africa or in Benin, we did not learn the culture of, for instance, when you finish drinking pure water, where do you dump the bottle? Say the truth. Where you drank it. In fact, some of us today, when you finish eating this night, you will leave the plate and the tray where you ate and slept by the side. And then rat will come and finish it. It's normal. How many of you last night? Okay, how many of us here have dining table in your houses? If you have that, I have. If you don't have, you have room. Let me see your hand. Just wonderful. You're wonderful people. Just do this for me. Do this for somebody you love. Just put your hand out the way. My hand is. With the same generosity with which you lifted your hand, how many of you ate on that dining table this morning? Why do we have dining table when we don't eat on it? I will tell you why. What culture is what you learned and you practice. We grew up, where did you see your parents eating? Talk to me. Kitchen, on the bed, in the bedroom, on the floor. That's the culture. That is the truth. That's our mindset. You watched movie or you traveled overseas, you saw that the white man has dining table. You went, some of you even use plenty money, buy the table. Buy table mat when you take the eat. Sometimes when you manage go the table, you don't go carry table mat. Culture. If they now say all of us we are going for cocktail or fountain. Now, when all of us get there at four to a table, the first 10 minutes, most of us will be confused. Because you don't know whether the fork will be held in the left hand and the spoon will held. I'm telling you the truth. One day my husband took me out to Matai's and we got there. He ordered rice. I like to swallow. Rice. They gave us fork. They didn't give us spoon. I sat down. Of course, I learned the use of cutlery. But somehow, I've not been using fork. I've been using spoon. Pasta, pia, 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 pia. They gave me fork. As I was eating. The food was not entering, but I was eating it. But, you know, I looked under the table. It didn't fall. I told him, I said, I'm still hungry. He said, you want to order another food? I said, first of all, I couldn't eat the meat because it was cow tail. Because I needed to hold my, use my hand and hold the bone and eat it very well. And then the pastor came factor come join the team. As we were just eating, so we said, hey, mama, hey, papa. He said, do you want to order another one? I said, no, I need to go where I will balance. Use spoon, take eat this rice. As I was going, I was hungry. Because I was still hungry. If they gave me spoon, give me 2 minutes, the food go finish. Now, that is the culture. The food entered my body, but my mindset, we say, who take fork eat? The Nobele food. Am I real? Translate the thing to clean up day. In fact, when I was in the secondary school, when they say manual labor, all of us labor. But when we want to give you punishment in secondary school, what do they give you? Clearing grass. And some of those prefects were wicked. They are good. I don't know what any of them are. They are wicked, good, in between. One day I came late. The senior prefect said, hey, Karina, you came late again. I said, ah, sorry. He said, no, I won't take sorry. You just took me to one bush. He said, how? Where am I going to stop? He said, how? Is it clear, V? I cleared that thing for 2 days until I had to pray to God to go and touch your heart. I needed to use God to beg her. Since then, once I hear manna labor, that's what I remember. I remember that punishment that didn't value anything. They now say clean up day. last Sunday of every month. Yes, last Saturday of every month, clean up. 7 to what? 10. Please, I love you people. But if you know that since that cleanup has been going on, you have been cleaning up. Everywhere, you cleaned the windows, the louvers, removed the cobwebs, went outside and cleared the front outside your gate. Please, stand on your feet if you know. No, don't tell a lie, yo. Everybody, camera, please, zoom round. God bless you, you're a wonderful. So you go outside your gate, you clean them and sweep it to the road. And then you pack it from the road and discard it where people who carry it will come and carry it. Wonderful girl. You are wonderful too. You can see 3 people, 4, 5. Wonderful Nigerian, 5. Now, let me ask you, having put the dustbin to one place, what happens to the dustbin from where you put it? Have you noticed that we have dumped? You just carry your dustbin, pia, 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 pia. You just go somewhere and just dump it. Who comes to carry it? Nobody. You know what is wrong? It's not erosion. Is erosion a human being? You know what is wrong? The culture. We never learned it as a culture. Now they have put it in as a program. It doesn't solve the problem. If we want Nigeria to become a clean place, all of us have to start individually to learn the culture of removing cobwebs from your house, drinking pure water and discarding it properly. Not dropping piece of papers on the floor. If it becomes a part of our lifestyle, it will translate into our society. The same culture, people feel that once you have money, all your problems are solved. A rich woman committed suicide. Her husband bought her the latest car, gave her a large sum of money. Before the husband came back, this woman had committed suicide. She wrote a note. You gave me everything money could buy, but you didn't give me your heart. Let's roll. Yes, heart. What is his attitude towards money? Does he show mercy? How does he treat people in problems? You see that person helping those people to solve problems. You see, he's showing mercy. Does he give forgiveness? How does he receive forgiveness and how does he give forgiveness? Sorry, but the next time we're going to put it up so that you can see. Some of us say, forgive you. Lie unto God, Jesus. Except now, go come down, go settle this matter. I don't go ever forgive. What do you do me? Come on. This person, if he doesn't forgive another person, he will forgive you when you do something. You know? But if it is doing something, you must. There is nobody who doesn't make mistakes. So watch how he forgives if he behaves like this man. What is his attitude towards your family members? This person you want to get that wants to get involved with you, does he encourage one relationship between him and your relations? Does he encourage the continuity of your relationship with your own people? There is anybody that encourages you to keep away from your family will kill you. Your church family, your biological family. You have 2 families. Please watch it. If he has that kind of attitude to your relation and doesn't have this one, you are in trouble. Does he bounce back when everything is not going well? Resilient is called. Does he bounce back? If somebody, listen to me, everybody that comes into your life will come into your life in a raw state. Leadership is taking a raw material and converting it into a finished product. When I met my husband, I was raw. Everybody that is going to come into your life is going to come into your life raw. Some of the men you see say, this guy, I like the way the guy behaves. Ask the wife how he was when the wife met him. Somebody had polished him, worked on him. Now he's Mr. Right Guy. Everybody that will enter your life, listen to me attentively. The only thing is, you look at the weaknesses and ask yourself, can I tolerate this before you start entering? It is, if you discover, okay, I can handle this anger, I can handle it. Okay, this womanizing, I can handle it. I can handle it. Then I am ready to work on this. But if you know you can't work on it, get out of it. It is better to hurt, be separated, than to be married and divorced. How does he behave when he discovered that you had a bad past? Does he turn his back on you and tells everybody the kind of person you are? Just turns his back. Ah, that girl, I don't want a prostitute. Ah! How does he behave? He doesn't reject you because of your past. He knows you used to be this, but now you are this. Who are his heroes? A man's heroes are a picture of his future. Is it Dora, the NAFDAC boss? Is it Soludo? Is it Nelson Mandela, the president of the world? Is it Mother Teresa? Is it Papa Ben? When he's telling you his mentors, check him very well. The people who are his heroes determines his future. The people you hail, if he is somebody that hails armed robbers, say, hey, the armed robber. Say, the guy was too much, man. I lie, the guy, courage, the guy, no sense. Watch him. I'll tell you the truth. I say, you get one guy when I lie for Nigeria, Abacha, my guy, day. I see, me, people, I'm a very deep, people don't know me, I'm different. My hero, Osama Bin Laden. Watch him. It means that you should start telling your leg, my leg, if you can't run now, my heart fall out of love immediately. Because he will treat you like Osama Bin Laden treated America. The best way to find the person is divine direction. Open communications. Listen to me. God can talk to anybody. Listen, if you ask the right question, you get the right answer. Let me make it abundantly clear that God does not have special people. If you make yourself special, you will be special. God talks to everybody. But when you develop a relationship with him, it becomes easier. He can talk to you while you read the Bible. He can talk to you while the pastor is preaching. But he can also use word of knowledge, vision. But that is not his primary way of talking. I want to use this opportunity to plead to those who are always looking for vision. You will put yourself in trouble. Time will not permit me to go into the intricacies of that matter. I'm actually coming to the end of this place. Follow my instruction. As simply as I'm telling you, even if you don't like me, it doesn't matter. She has a woman, they laugh. You get what you make and they laugh. She will tell you later if you meet her. You people are wonderful people. Merci beaucoup. Living your dreams, the taste of heaven.